Now, over the weekend just passed, nearly 150 festival goers were caught with illicit drugs at a music event in Sydney. At that particular event, that's almost one in 50 attendees. With no signs of music lovers slowing down their use of drugs, is it time that we explored safer alternatives for those who decide to use drugs at festivals? On the line, we've got Will Tregoning. He's the executive director from Unharm, an organisation that promotes safe and ethical drug use in Australia. Good morning, Will.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us on The Daily. Now, how do the stats from last weekend's music festival reflect today's climate of Australian drug use?
Completely typical. I mean, one of the continual misunderstandings, I suppose, about illicit drug use is that it is restricted to music festivals. In fact, it's throughout all parts of society. The other one is that illicit drug use at music festivals is a minority behaviour. That is incorrect. We know that it is something that's done by a majority of the participants at most music festivals. And so the reporting around these kinds of events and the people arrested for drug possession at these events continue to be completely out of whack with the reality.
Right. Why do you think people take drugs at music festivals? That seems to be the place we hear all about it.
Sorry, what was the last part of the question?
It seems to be the place that we hear all about it. You know, this festival, that festival, people taking drugs, some of them overdosing. Why do we hear so much about it?
Because it's fun. That's why people use drugs. MDMA is creating intense experiences of empathy as well as, you know, pleasure, excitement, wakefulness. People do it because they enjoy it, and that's why they've used these substances for thousands of years. Not MDMA, of course, but cannabis, alcohol, opiates. You know, humans have always used psychedelic substances.
Okay. Why aren't people able just to go to a music festival and enjoy the music, though?
Sorry, what do you mean?
Well, why do they need the extra substances to have a good time? Why isn't the music?
I don't think that anyone believes that they need to take drugs in order to enjoy a music festival. I think they use these substances because they want to, because they find it pleasurable, because it enhances their experience. It's not a need. And that's the case with most illicit drug use. You know, there's a fiction that drug use and drug addiction are one and the same. Mm-hmm. In reality, that's very far from the truth. Most people who use illicit substances use them only occasionally.
Right.
And their use is never problematic. And that accounts for about 90% of people who use illicit substances. And that's the statistic that comes from the United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime.
Right.
What
are some of the ways that people can take drugs safely at music events then?
Well, look, the only way to be completely safe, of course, is to not use these substances at all. Having said that, you know, what we can do is create environments that promote safety. We can eliminate the most dangerous substances from use, and people themselves can take responsibility for managing their own safety, for taking care of themselves and people around them. So those three pillars that I think are fundamental to promoting, you know, safety in a much more effective and holistic way at these events.
Right.
Now, one part of that, one part that we're particularly campaigning for relates to increasing or eliminating the most dangerous substances from use. And the most effective way to do that, recognizing that people continue to use these substances, the most effective way to do that is through services that can analyze the substances that people have purchased and tell them what's actually in them. There's a huge amount of misrepresentation and contamination in illicit drug markets because, of course, there's no formal quality control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's particularly acute in Australia.
Really?
Particularly, for example, with the ecstasy market. We're one of the highest per capita consumers of ecstasy. And I would put that in inverted commas.
Yep.
Because very often what people purchase when they're purchasing ecstasy is not what they think they're getting, which is MDMA. In the majority of cases, the pill, the cap, the crystals will contain at least another substance in addition to MDMA, or might not contain MDMA at all. So instead of that, they'll contain methamphetamine, for example.
Oh, wow.
Well, one of the really scary and repeated things that we've seen in the Australian drug market that seems to be unique to here is MDMA combined with a new psychoactive substance called N-bome, or a class of substances called the N-bome. And that's particularly worrying because these are psychedelics that people are not expecting and which have, you know, come in doses that cause mm-hmm. them to have psychotic or near-psychotic episodes.
All right. So talking about pill testing specifically, how big is the public support for pill testing?
It's supported by a majority of people, among younger people, which of course would be the primary target audience for this kind of service.
Mm-hmm.
It's supported by more than 70%. It's supported by 80% of people who use illicit substances within that age demographic.
Wow. What are the other 20% doing? What are the other 20% doing if they're not in favor of testing the pills that they're about to put in their bodies?
Oh, look, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand. But like even among people who don't use illicit drugs within that age group, 70% mm-hmm. say that they support pill testing. So it's not simply self-interest. It's something that people simply understand. There's no social benefit in needlessly increasing the harm of a behavior that people continue to do. And so, and people recognize that this is, you know, akin to other sorts of things in life where we try to manage the risks by and reduce uncertainty.
Mm.
The main uncertainty, of course, is what on earth is the substance that, that you've actually purchased. And with that uncertainty, it's very hard to apply risk reduction measures. So if someone thinks that they have MDMA, but they've actually got PMA, then even if you can give them the best advice about MDMA, in fact, it doesn't match with the substance that they've actually got. And so you can't effectively manage the risk. I think people just get that. And
yep.
we see that reflected also in general population surveys. So we teamed up last year with Essential, the research company, which fielded a question about pill testing. It was answered by just over 1,000 Australians, a representative sample from all states. A majority of people support pill testing in that survey,
mm-hmm.
over 55%. And in fact, the bulk of the remainder say that they don't know, whereas opposition is tiny. About 15% of people say that they oppose pill testing.
Right.
And what's remarkable about that is it's consistent across age groups. People over 55 are the most likely to say that they support it. And people who vote for the Liberals National Party are likely to support it at about the same rate as Labor voters. So even among LibNat supporters, only 15% say that they don't support pill testing. So there's a huge support within the Australian community and especially within the target population for this service.
Right. Have we had any pill testing going on at any of the big festivals in recent times?
Not recently. The only pill testing service that operated in an ongoing way in mm-hmm. Australia was run by an organisation called Enlighten Harm Reduction.
Right.
That ran up until about 10 years ago. They used the simplest form of testing technology based on reagent testing, which is where you combine the test, you know, the sample with a reagent, a chemical reagent that changes color in a known way when it's combined with particular substances. So for example, the marquee reagent is a liquid that you can combine with a sample of a pill that you think contains MDMA.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does contain MDMA, you'll get a blue-black color,
right.
purple-black color, which you compare with your colorimetric chart. So that kind of testing service has already operated in Australia. It's better than nothing,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, it's not sufficient because there's been this huge proliferation of new psychoactive substances on the market in recent years. So
right.
that substance I mentioned before, N-bome, that won't be detected in a reagent test.
Right.
And so if a person has MDMA combined with N-bone, which is a particularly dangerous combination, a reagent test can't identify the presence of N-bone. That's why what we're arguing for or campaigning for now is testing that meets laboratory standards, modern laboratory standards, which is something that is being done in many countries around the world. There are more than 10. There's a whole network of testing services that are operating using sophisticated technologies in Europe, for example, right now. It's a model that's been shown to be possible and it could be implemented here without any, you know, major challenges aside from the politics.
Right. Well, Will, just to finish off, mate, how with your campaign that has been going on, do you think we're any closer to pill testing becoming a reality and a common occurrence at music festivals particularly?
Yeah, definitely. What we've seen over the past couple of years is that this has been consistently something that is advocated for in the wake of reporting over, you know, especially incidents at music festivals.
Mm-hmm.
It's been endorsed at the Canberra Summit last year, which brought together representatives from all parties, as well as experts for a symposium about drug law reform. It was unanimously endorsed by that group. It has, you know, attracted support from a huge, varied range of different people and organisations. And I think that, yes, we are closer. Is it inevitable? No. Mm-hmm. We're only going to get there with continued sustained campaigning, because the politics remains the obstacle.
Mm. As so many other things. Well, Will, thank you so much for your time and joining us on The Daily today.
It's a pleasure.
There we are. That was Executive Director of Unharm, Executive Director, I'll start with my teeth in, Executive Director of Unharm, Will Tregoning there, talking to us about the push for drug policy reform and pill testing in Australia.